Hello and welcome to a Tuesday, March 26th edition of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I'm your host, Harris, and I'm going to be joined by Kenny after a week off together. I think I had something that came up and just ended up going solo as a result, but we're back on here to take on what is a more compressed slate than we usually find ourselves with, four games on this Tuesday, and it's nice to have that as a bit of a cool off after me as a Raptors season holder just keeps finding ways to waste my time and money and 11 straight losses in a row going back and forth downtown. It's nice to hopefully get some good lineups here to make that a little bit worth it. But Kenny, how's your weekend? How's your week gone? And what's new?
Oh, man, it was the beginning of March Madness, man. I was loving it. Prop-wise, killed it on Saturday. Not so much on the first day of games, but man, I'm love watching it. Women's college game is really improving. Has some highlights in the men's college games. But yeah, man, I love this time of year right now, man. A whole lot of college basketball. Still got a little bit of EuroLeague left as well. NBL playoffs, man. I'm loving my time right now, man. I just wish my Clippers could get a win against teams like the Hawks and the Pacers. But outside of that, man, I'm doing pretty good, man. How about yourself, man? Did you bet on any Porter props lately?
Oh, yeah, just unders all over the place. If only someone else could have told me ahead of time that he was going to have a re-aggravation of his eye injury or, what was it, feeling a random illness 3 minutes into it so that all of your unders hit. It's
yeah, man. Eye inflammation, man, it's a thing that catching players, you know. I remember I had some eye inflammation from a little bit of Icy Hot that was sponsored by Shaq. So I'm pretty sure Porter can have, you know, some type of Shaq-sponsored product that just, you know, added to the eye inflammation.
Right. Well, I'm just waiting for the Adam Silver announcement of a lifetime ban while he's holding a mic that is going to be sponsored by FanDuel, just because, you know, the irony couldn't go any further than that. If you make betting so open and everything within the NBA, and now you're finding these scrubs potentially doing something like this, I mean, it's not, it just seemed like it was a inevitable conclusion that it was going to happen at some point, and then they're going to throw the book at whoever ends up being on the wrong side of that and try to set a precedent. So I would not be surprised if we're looking at a lengthy ban and then him being just blackballed from the league altogether. But yeah, we'll have to see what the investigation ends up showing up. But he definitely wasn't there, obviously, at courtside or anything for the game. He's probably going to be held out from everything that Toronto does until we get more information about what's going on. But that does leave us, though, with a bunch of other games to be able to look at over here. And actually, some pretty interesting ones as far as not only standings are concerned. Obviously, you know, we have some kind of big, I won't say, well, big and obviously affecting injuries as far as, say, the Pelicans are concerned, who were on a great streak, you know, for the last little bit, but now could be seeing Brandon Ingram out for a little bit here. But from the games that we are having, not too many big, you know, blowout scenarios that are here. Actually, a bunch of close games to look into, but four games, let's get right into it. And before we start, just remember, you want to keep yourself on top of what's going on here. Keep yourself up to date with the live injury report, as well as all of the other amazing content that you get on the Sports Ethos DFS Pass. Get yourself subscribed to that. Obviously, playoffs are coming up, which is going to be where we're going to see a little bit more normalcy as far as some of these lineups are concerned. So you obviously want to keep yourself up to date, connected with the pros, with that DFS Pass on Discord, as well as the website itself. So get yourself subscribed if you haven't already. And let's jump into it with the point guards, looking first over here with a bunch of positions. And frankly, in these kind of smaller slates over here, I don't know about you, but I'm always looking at, you know, who's going to be that one pillar that I'm going to potentially think about as kind of the top DFS point scorer on the night and kind of figure out what's going to be going on. And from a point guard perspective, even though I'm not necessarily in love with the price tag over here, this is probably going to be the fastest paced matchup of the night once all the spreads come around. And that's the Mavericks and Kings with Luka Doncic over here. Now, from his perspective, it's funny that he's averaged 66 DK points in the two games that he's faced against Sacramento while shooting just absolutely abysmally across the board. It's really just been his rebounding and assists that have pretty much brought it up, because he's been averaging a triple-double in the two matchups. But He shot 35% from the field and 25% from three in the two games that he's played against Sacramento so far. So I would, as a betting man, say that that's likely at some point to go ahead and get itself corrected back to the mean. And if there's any kind of positive as far as Luka's concerned, his last couple of games have been, I would say, on a more positive trajectory as far as his field goal percentage is concerned. His three-point shooting still remains pretty suspect. He had a decent game against Utah, but overall has been, you know, really struggling from outside. But where it remains is obviously his overall stat lines across the board, but also the fact that he's just shooting pretty consistently over 45% for the last 2 weeks now. So that does give me a little bit of confidence going into this matchup here, where I do think he has the capability to be able to drop a high 70 DK point game here if we do see Sacramento keep it as close as we are potentially expecting. So from a pillar play expensive tier pick, he's definitely going to be someone that I'll have a strong eye on to kind of lead off my team, depending on what we're seeing the rest of the potential injuries looking like, which I will get into. On the other side, as far as expenses is concerned, you know, it's interesting that Steve Kerr basically came out last game and said that, hey, they're trying to keep Curry to as much as 30 minutes, 32 at the most, as much as possible. And really, that does limit a little bit of his upside over here. But what we are seeing otherwise is that his price tag has really fallen to a place where even in 30 minutes, he has all the potential to be able to put up a 50-plus game here, as he did against Indiana, got pretty close against Minnesota as well. But for 8,600, coming into a matchup against Miami, where the spread currently is sitting with the Warriors only favored to win by two, maybe they might see Curry play a few more minutes with that one day of rest that he's had in between that last Minnesota game over there. So, you know, for the Warriors, they're obviously looking to get as many wins as possible. That entire play-in scenario still remains very, very tight. And especially in the case of the Warriors, given the fact that the Rockets have won, what was it, 9 games straight in a row at this point now, they are just half a game back of the Warriors. So they cannot really afford to lose any more games over here if they can help it. So this is going to be a big game for them. And Curry will have to come out as a big performer over here for it to be worth it. As far as mid-tier is concerned, I'm kind of in between two guys over here, which is, first off, you know, with that Brandon Ingram injury that's happened for the New Orleans Pelicans, we are seeing that he's going to be out for at least 2 weeks. And right away, CJ McCollum just jumped back to his kind of regular offensive groove. And over the last two games has shot 39 field goal attempts, getting a 50 and a 40 DK point night while still sitting in that 7,000 price range. So it's clear that he is going to be one of the bigger beneficiaries as far as offensive role is concerned for this team. And given the fact that the Thunder Pelicans is also another game expected to be a close one, Thunder only favored to win by two sitting away from home over here, I expect that CJ is going to have another opportunity to be able to put up a big night over here. And to his credit, he's actually played really well in the games that he's faced off against the Oklahoma City Thunder so far, averaging about 41 DK points in those ones as well. So while you don't want to read, you know, everything into a previous matchup over here, he should have all the opportunity to be able to do that. While at the same time, if you want to be a little bit more risky, depending on what the LeBron James news is going to be as far as the Lakers are concerned, I think D'Angelo Russell is definitely going to be in that same mark as well. Probably going to be in that opportunity where he's going to shoot anywhere between 18 to 20 shots, as he similarly did against Golden State and really has been over the last little bit, just on fire. So that upside is definitely there, and they're both between kind of that price tag there. And then finally, from a value perspective, I'm looking at Keon Ellis over here for the Sacramento Kings. Obviously, ever since Kevin Huerter went down, they've kind of been searching for that guy that they can go ahead and slot in. And obviously more of a GPP pick, because you don't necessarily know what his shot selection and his shot capability is going to look like. He got 12 up in that last game against Orlando and was on route to a great night, where he ended up with 42 DK points. But he can obviously have a little bit of a dud, as he did in the Washington game prior to that. But by and large, has found himself in that consistent kind of high 20 minutes role, and that should be enough for him to hit his price tag at 4,500.
Okay. Nice little picks. It seemed like we're going to be a little different of how we spend it up on the point guard position. You know, I do like splurging a little bit for my point guards in this position, but back-to-back, spending over 25% of my salary on Doncic, I know it's safe, but I need to go a little bit cheaper and go with SGA. I know he hasn't really had his best performance as of late. If I remember right, he only got to the line two times, and that was in the second half against Milwaukee. I'm not even sure how many times he got to the line when he played Toronto, but I know he was shooting abysmal and still almost got you 50 DraftKings points. But going up against a hampered New Orleans team, I really do feel like at that 10-2 price tag, he could possibly bounce back at this spot. No, they're on the road. No, the cooking is a little contagious when you get into New Orleans, but he should be able to get to the line pretty easily. Don't really need to worry about him finding his three since New Orleans actually do take away the three from a lot of opponents. So you should be able to get yourself a safe 30 points from him. Should be able to get you about 14 rebounds plus assists in this spot. So I'm looking at 60 DraftKings points tonight on a four-game slate if this game stay competitive, since New Orleans tend to have a thing of playing down to opponents who actually like to play up against them. Going for my mid-tier pick, there was two routes I was kind of thinking of. I know you mentioned this Golden State game. You like Curry in this spot. I actually was a little bit more of a fan of CP3 in this spot. At 5-2, I know the total in this matchup isn't the greatest, but I do feel like this is one of these spots where Golden State will need to get their bench to evolve a little bit more. And if you can get about 8 assists out of Chris Paul, his 3 actually have been falling pretty well ever since he came back. So if you could get 2 3-pointers-pointers out of him, 8 assists, couple of steals, you're looking at a solid 25-34 fantasy point night out of him. And for 5-2, I actually like that. Plus, the ownership shouldn't be too high, especially on a four-game slate. When you're able to get away from ownership, that's always a positive. Now, I did mention back-to-back with Dallas. And this player hasn't really played his best ever since he came back. Honestly thought he was in a prime spot to go up against his old team today, and it just didn't happen. But he's still getting you anywhere from 20-24 minutes each game. And you mentioned Sacramento had the fastest paced matchup on the slate. So for 4-3, I'm going to have some interest in Dante Exum. I know this is going to be a low ownership play, so this would be GPP only. But he does have the ability to actually play in a faster-paced game, has the ability to get you a couple of assists, a couple of rebounds. And when his three is falling, he's actually somebody that kid don't really like taking off the floor. So if you want to, you know, gamble a little bit, hope, you know, Exum can hit 3 of his 3 3-pointer-pointer attempts, you're looking at a potential 20-30 DraftKings point night out of him for 4-3. As the low tier option. What you think about those picks?
Yeah, no, fair enough. I think there's an interesting couple of ways to be able to look at that, and especially with Exum, obviously with that back to back happening, perhaps he will find himself with a couple more minutes here, depending on how things go. So, yeah, interesting way, and I don't hate it. Let's see how it ends up going. As far as shooting guards are concerned here, and again, this is very much in alignment with what I was saying with D'Angelo Russell earlier. Really, what LeBron James' status, even though he is, I guess, technically listed as doubtful, which, I mean, usually in most cases points to a guy not actually playing, but he hasn't missed too many back-to-backs this season in general, and regardless of what his injury status is, usually he finds himself on the floor. But if he's not, Austin Reaves at 7,000 is definitely going to be a popular pick, and probably for good reason. I mean, we saw what he did against Indiana, where, you know, he ended up with 45 DK points over there, and in general, will usually in situations where either one of AD or LeBron James is missing, find himself as being that secondary offensive option, kind of working alongside D'Angelo Russell over there. So you can expect that he'll end up with somewhere between 15 to 17 shot attempts. Now, you know, he always finds himself getting to the line. He's actually gotten there 20 times in the last two games, which is always ridiculous, but he's great at being able to slash to the rim. And altogether, just a lot to like as far as his upside is concerned. He should be able to pretty comfortably clear that 7,000 price tag in a Lakers-Milwaukee matchup where the Bucks are favored to win pretty comfortably over here, probably owing to the fact that they expect LeBron to not play. But Dawson Reeves, his credit, he'll always play those high minutes, especially in those kind of matchups where they're often up against playoff opponents. You'll find him in those kind of high 30s as far as minutes is concerned as a key defender alongside, obviously, his ability to get to the line and put some opposition players in foul trouble. So I do like him for his price tag there. Going back to that OKC and New Orleans game over there, I do think both Trey Murphy as well as Josh Giddey are in play for this matchup here. Trey Murphy, for his credit, is definitely a riskier pick than Giddey, who has found himself kind of getting back into some sort of a semblance of a regular role and groove over the last couple of games. Obviously, still had a little bit of a dud in between against the Toronto Raptors, but in a matchup against the Pelicans where they are going to want a little bit more guard play, obviously. The Pelicans themselves are very guard-oriented in their offense outside of when Zion gets the opportunity to run in the middle. But CJ has clearly shown that he's going to be playing a lot as far as kind of on-ball. So Giddey is going to get the opportunity to be a lot more of an on-ball defender. And in the two games that he's played against the Pelicans, he's pretty much been at that kind of 30 DK point mark anyway, which is around where his salary is sitting at anyway. So it's gives you the opportunity to be able to kind of tap into a little bit of that upside where we know Josh Giddey can be a triple-double threat on any night where he ends up playing kind of those high 20s as far as his minutes are concerned. And this is probably one of those matches where he should get another opportunity to be able to do that. While Trey Murphy, again, one of those beneficiaries of Brandon Ingram going down, getting more opportunities to keep gunning from outside. But we know that he can be kind of off and on as far as his shooting is concerned. But what has been a bit of a positive trend over the last couple of games now is three out of his last five games, he's gotten 8 rebounds there, which is really just, again, a side effect of the fact that outside of Zion, they're really taking away from, say, Valanciunas' minutes and going a lot smaller in how they go about doing it. And Trey Murphy, a guy who does end up finding himself in that kind of 2-3 and even sometimes 4 position, depending on how the lineup is working at that point, is in many ways getting to be a little bit of that Josh Hart role in where he's kind of everywhere to be able to go ahead and grab those boards while still push up a little bit on the offense and then go ahead and see if he can run himself to the corner or the top of the break and put up one of his 8-9 three-point attempts, which you know is going to happen. So there is a little bit of risk involved in that. If his shot is not falling, you're obviously banking on some of those ancillary stats, which are not always there. But he still gives you enough offensive upside with the minutes and opportunity he has now that he can end up with 35 to 40 DK points on a decent night. And then as far as value pick is concerned, and again, this is looking kind of similarly to your Dante Exum side of things. I do think that Tim Hardaway Jr. remains that GPP guy that you can potentially throw out there with the opportunity to obviously get hot as he has in two of his last five games, while he obviously, on the other hand, has those absolute dud games where he can just destroy you. So it's just GPP only. His price tag is low enough that I'm willing to take the risk on him playing somewhere closer to that kind of 25 to 28 minutes in a matchup here where they are going to need as much perimeter offense as possible in a back-to-back situation. As you said, you're going to want as many fresh legs out there as you can. And for Tim Hardaway Jr., who hasn't really had a big minutes load over the last week, really, at this point, should be in a position to kind of take advantage of that if they are going to be looking to kind of limit a little bit as well as far as the other guards are concerned there.
No, definitely. Really do like that Tim Hardaway pick. Just want to add, if you go the Tim Hardaway route, don't add at the minute. That's like choose one or the other. Going with the little spend up, it don't even feel right calling it a spend up, man. I'm not even playing 7K for the shooting guard position. But I'm going with, I guess you call him the sixth man of the year at this point, Malik Monk against Dallas. Again, they're on the back-to-back, and even when healthy, they do have a problem letting guards get to the line. And even though he is the sixth man, Monk still typically get 5-6 free throw attempts if he can get his game going. His past performance been pretty abysmal. I guess that's the best way to put it. So ownership should be a little bit lower, especially on a 4-game slate. I feel like people would tried to stay away from that. But at 10% ownership, you're looking at a potential 35-40 DraftKings point night if you're able to get his game going. Pivoting a little bit more to the mid-tier pick, again, this is kind of cheap to really even call it mid-tier, but at 4-7, I'm going to go with Mr. Revenge Game, Mr. Malik Beasley going up against the Lakers. Again, just like Monk, his past performance hasn't been the greatest, but he's actually in a pretty decent spot. You did mention there might be some bodies out for the Lakers, but even if those players stay in, Lakers are allowing Dars to shoot, I want to say it's 37, 36% from three. And if his shot is going, I don't really see why Doc would really take him out the game. So this will be point dependent, will be low ownership, but you're looking at a potential 25 actual points from Malik Beasley in this spot. Going cheap, I'm kind of scared to actually say the name. So let me just backtrack myself a little bit. Golden State isn't really the youngest team on paper. So if you don't have the youngest legs possible, you still might be able to get your shot going. With that said, I'm going to go and spend 3-5 on Australian legend, Patty Mills, as a cash game option. Ever since he got to Miami, he actually had a little bit of role in the offense. They need shooting for that team, and he's been willing to shoot the three. Now, he hasn't really been connecting on these three-pointers, but he's been willing to shoot them. And I feel like as long as Hero is out, there's going to be some spot available for Mills. So I do feel like this 20-minute spot is going to be more than that 12-minute spot when it comes to the rotation. So if you're looking at a cash game option who's cheap, who gets you anywhere from 15, 20 DraftKings points, Mills would probably be the best plug and play on this four-game slate, but it might be a little chalky, and you might get them at about 10 to 15% ownership.
Yeah, fair enough. That's it's interesting over there. As you said, Patty Mills definitely requires as much offense as possible on that Miami team, especially from outside. And really, he's what played 9 games so far with Miami at this point. Had been out for pretty much the entire year outside of that little stint with Atlanta. So probably still getting warmed up as far as the shot's concerned. But we know that he can be an absolute fire starter when he gets going. So I don't mind that pick. And Golden State is obviously one of those matchups where you want to throw as many offensive options from outside as possible. Moving into the small forward side of things. And this is, again, and I know you mentioned you weren't really looking to spend up as far as the shooting guards are concerned. I was kind of in that mindset when I'm looking at these small forwards over here. Now, you kind of already mentioned Malik Monk, who I was going to cheat a little bit and bring in on the small forward side over here. But really looking at the mid-tiers to begin with, and I do think that as we get kind of closer and closer to the end of the season over here, we're going to get to see more of what we have been of Andrew Wiggins getting double-digit shot attempts. Now, he's gotten that 3 out of the last 5 games over here. His minutes still seem to fluctuate a little bit into that mid-20s to, you know, ideally that 30-minute mark, which he has gotten, again, in the last week, probably about 50% of the time. But in a matchup here that should be a pretty close, in a pretty slow-paced matchup, but what that does mean is that it's going to be more defensive-oriented, and if there's anything that Wiggins has done well since he's gone ahead and gotten to Golden State, is that they've turned him into a more committed defender on that side, and that usually leads to a couple more notches on that stocks column with the blocks and steals side of things. So we're hoping that he can replicate a little bit more of that, what we have seen over the last, say, week and a half or 2 weeks, where he's had a couple of games where he's gotten a steal and a block together. Hopefully that can coincide with some more of that offense kind of coming through, which they obviously do need. He's only been averaging about 13 points this season, but he has gotten closer to 15 over the last week and a half, 2 weeks as well. So it's just more to potentially like. 5,100 is enough of a incentive as far as his price is concerned that I feel pretty confident that he should get somewhere near 30 in this game. We'll have to obviously see how that works out as far as the other rotations and his individual performance goes. And then sticking with that Miami game, and again going into my cheap side, I'm keeping an eye out on what's going to be happening with Jaime Jaquez over here. Looks like he is listed questionable with his knee, and it actually looks like it may be a little closer to him not playing than it is the other way around, in which case I am looking at Haywood Highsmith over here, who should slot right in into that kind of starting tweener position that they end up having. Obviously had a great game in that Cleveland one, which was a bit of a blowout for them, but he ended up giving him a little bit more opportunities there. But if we are going to be seeing kind of less of a lot of these perimeter guys, I know you already mentioned someone like a Patty Mills slotting in, but we may see a little bit more of a defensive-oriented tweener guy come in as well, which we have seen earlier in the year with Highsmith getting that kind of starting role, getting that opportunity to play kind of mid to high 20 minutes going into 30. And even if he's not necessarily filling it up as far as the shooting start is concerned, he does end up in a position to be able to put up some pretty decent rebounding numbers alongside some of those stock numbers as well, which he has been averaging about a steal a game as well, while also being a pretty decent blocker for his position out there. So 3,800, cheap enough that I'm happy to be able to throw him out there, especially if Jaquez is in fact out. And as a GPP play, probably won't have much ownership coming into this as well, so something to potentially consider.
Okay. Pretty solid routes to go. But like yourself, I wasn't spending up on small forward as well. I was actually going cheaper. I felt like a good GPP option on this slate was another not the greatest shooter on this slate, but somebody who could get you 20 actual points and somebody who should be able to get his percentage up sometime in the coming days. And that's Klay Thompson for 5'7". I do feel like this is going to be more of a GPP spot, but with a couple questionable tags on Miami side, plus the fact that they actually been giving up quite a few threes in the month of March. I really don't feel too crazy taking a flyer on him for 5'7", especially if it's going to allow me to spend up in some other positions. Going mid-tier, kind of like my Malik Monk pick, Dallas is on a back-to-back. They have been allowing shooters to shoot a little bit of better percentages lately. Plus, they allow players to get to the line. Normally, I don't say Harrison Barnes is a threat to, you know, really attack the rim and get to the line, but lately, he's been getting you around 5 free throw attempts per game. So if this trend's going to continue, I don't mind taking a shot on him 4 or 5. Not really the greatest three-point shooter, but you're more so playing him for his minutes. Typically, he will get you around 30, 34 minutes per game, unless a blowout happens. But in a 32-minute spot, you're looking at around 25 DraftKings points. At 4 or 5, again, it's going to help you in cash games or GPP to figure out ways to spend salary somewhere. But this is going to be more of a cash game for me, but I might talk myself into playing it in a GPP since there's not too many options to go. Now, for my GPP play, same game, different side, kind of the same with Etsem, kind of the same with Hardaway. Derrick Jones Jr. is somebody you know who will be in the rotation, but you don't know what he will do in the rotation. He will take three-pointers at a lesser clip than Etsem would, but he typically will give you about 2 or 3 per game. And if they go in, he should be able to see a little bit of increase in minutes. When it comes to stock, he could get you about 2. So if you see a 1.5 line on him, that's something I probably would grab and play it over on. And he might give you a couple rebounds. But outside of that, you're just hoping for a couple stats, a couple three-pointers. And at 4-1, if he could get you 2 threes, 2 stocks, about 3-4 rebounds, you're looking at a decent 20, 24-point draft King Knight out of him in this spot. So again, GPP wise, Jones would be my play. Cash wise, Harrison Barnes would be my play.
Yeah, I like it. Some interesting ways to go about doing there. And as we're kind of seeing as a theme here, there is a good bit of uncertainty that's there with a lot of these value picks that we're taking a look at here today. But really, all of them have pretty decent opportunities to be able to do or to be able to get enough minutes to actually come out there. But as you said, similar to the Derek Jones scenario, it's just about what they do with the time that they do get presented with over there. So let's see what that looks like as we get to the last couple of guys over here. Moving on to the power forward side of things. And this is where there is a little bit more interest in potentially spending up over here. And it really starts off with Anthony Davis here for me. So we spoke about, obviously, Luka on the back-to-back and being a potential big night for him if everything kind of works out as far as the Dallas-Sacramento game goes. But as far as Anthony Davis is concerned, who is coming probable into this game, especially if LeBron James is out, I mean, to his own credit, Anthony Davis has been playing really great basketball as of late, the last couple of games. In fact, three straight games now he's had 56 or more DK points, with him peaking all the way at 67 in that last Indiana game where he just absolutely went off. So to his credit, he's been just in general finding himself with some pretty big double-doubles, rebounding 15 or more in the last three games as well. And he should be now, again, in another scenario where he should have a pretty good size advantage. And, you know, Brook Lopez is as great as he has been from a blocks perspective, and in general, it's kind of revitalized his career over the last little bit. But Anthony Davis has consistently found himself being at the right end of that matchup. We already saw it earlier on in the season where he dropped 53 DK points on them there, and that's without him having one of his kind of better shooting nights as far as his standards have been as far as the season goes. So we should be seeing another matchup here where we're seeing the spread, or the total actually, in the 230s. The Lakers aren't necessarily favored to do all that well here, but I expect that Anthony Davis is going to do everything on his end to try to keep it as close as possible. So if we're looking at, in my mind, kind of the potentials for some of the guys who are going to be putting up the highest kind of pure DK points upside on the night, I think Anthony Davis is right up there with Luka Doncic, while not being nearly as expensive. At 10,300, you could probably find ways to slot him in, and I'll definitely be looking at that. If you're looking to go a little bit cheaper while still having some pretty similar upside, obviously Zion has shown just in that first game against Detroit, where even though they do have size on the inside, he ended up with a 13 of 14 shooting night en route to a 55 DK point night over there. And it's clear that he's going to continue to get those opportunities to be dominant. And in that OKC matchup, he's going to be looking to go right at Chet as much as possible to try and get him not only into foul trouble there, but also just bully his way inside so that they can open up a little bit more space for some of their perimeter shooting over there. So for him, who is going to be in a position where he's going to be playing 35 to 38 minutes, depending on what we're looking at and how close the matchup gets all the way to the end, Pelicans are at home, are expected to keep this close all the way through, and at the moment are only plus two on the spread. So we should be getting a full boatload of minutes for Zion as well. So from a cash or GPP perspective, I think both him and Anthony Davis are very secure in terms of where their price tags are to be able to hit somewhere close to 5x to start. And then they both give you that upside to be able to get to that 6, 7x if they're having a big night. So kind of pick your poison in terms of how you're game scripting some of these matchups. And I expect both of them are going to have pretty big nights there. Moving more towards kind of that cash side and into the mid-tier, I think both Draymond Green and Bobby Portis are in play to be able to get pretty comfortably to that 5x mark over here. Draymond, to his credit, last three games has been exactly where you expect, kind of in that mid-6,000s salary, getting somewhere between kind of mid-30s to 40 DK points, which is kind of what you expect whenever he can get kind of closer to that triple-double mark and gets a couple more shots to go with that. He doesn't necessarily obviously need 10, 12 shots to be able to have that be consistently there. But if his rebounding and assist numbers can continue to be kind of where they have been for the last little bit, he does give you that upside to get into the 40s, which one always likes. And that same kind of thing extends to Bobby Portis as well, who, with everything that's kind of happening with the health as far as the Milwaukee Bucks are concerned, obviously they've got a bunch of people questionable coming into this game as well, so you want to keep an eye on that. Hopefully, looks like Giannis is going to be playing for the game as well as Middleton, so that does take away a little bit of that sheen from what has been a pretty good kind of week and a half for Bobby Portis, with some pretty big games in between there. but he should still be in position to be able to have a pretty decent kind of shot buffet, averaging probably around 13, 14 shots in his kind of 28 minutes over there. So if he can have a decent shooting night, he'll usually get you enough rebounds and a couple of other supporting stats to be able to get into that kind of mid-30s with the potential to get to the 40 as well. And then finally, as far as kind of value is concerned, and I wouldn't even say this is really like full-on value at this point because we're still looking at that kind of low 5,000s mark over there. But I do think that given that we're seeing his minutes go up pretty significantly over the last little bit here, at some point PJ Washington's shot is going to come around. It's definitely more of a GPP play than a cash run. I'm expecting that at some point all those three-point attempts that he's getting are going to translate to him actually hitting some of those, not be sitting in that like kind of stuck 25 to 26 mark over there, despite his price tag being decent enough that that wouldn't absolutely kill you. But he is getting enough field goal attempts. We are sitting on a back-to-back over here where, if we've seen in kind of previous ones, on second leg of the back-to-back, he's gotten kind of more shot attempts there and has particularly done better on that one versus the first. So I don't mind him at his price tag. Again, just looking at the totals of different games and being able to go ahead and kind of throw him out there as a potential contrarian pick, because I think other people might be looking at, say, Keegan Murray, who has had a couple of good games coming into it, but does give you a little bit more and of variability in what he can do on a night-in-night-out basis.
Definitely a solid pick, and sooner or later, PJ is going to get some shots to connect for him. For my spend-up, I know he's questionable. I know he's pricey. But, man, I feel like this is a great matchup. And for 11-3, I'm interested in Giannis. I really don't see what can really go wrong in this spot form. Even if this game does, you know, blow out possibly, I still feel like you're going to be able to get a safe 50 DraftKings points out of him with an upside of around 70. Not really much to say. The only thing I don't like about this matchup is lately, the Lakers have not really let players get to the line, but I feel like it's more so due to their scheduling than it really says. Unless you actually believe the, you know, LeBron propaganda that people are trying to post about, and you know how refs seem to favor the Lakers. Who knows? Might have some of their props. But going for my mid-tier play, I'm going to go with Mr. Santa Clara himself, Jalen Williams. Again, been pretty consistent, more of a cash game play. Might be able to talk myself into playing in a GPP, depending on where I go with my saving spots. But been pretty consistent, giving you 20 points, giving you about 15 field goal attempts. And when it comes to rebounds, assists, it should be able to get you that 10 mark pretty close to it. Pretty safe play. Again, this is more of a cash game play, but if you feel like you land there in a GPP, I won't really be mad about that. When it comes to my cheapy, I was thinking of going a little higher price route, but I'm gonna keep it cheap. I'm going to go back to this game I've been talking about way too much, and this is that Sacramento-Dallas game. And you mentioned that, you know, PJ Washington is in a spot where if he could find his shot, he would be able to be in a nice little spot. But I'm going to basically just copy and paste what you said about PJ Washington to his cheaper option, Maxi Kleber, for 3-9. Again, ever since he came back, that shot just wasn't there. Want to say he had a couple three-pointers against, and I don't know, I think it was Milwaukee, but that was a while back. It had been like three or four. But his shot really isn't there, but he's still been getting minutes. And Dallas is really working on these last two positions to throw out there. Sometimes last three positions throw out there, but if you get 20 minutes out of him in a high-paced matchup and his shot is falling, you're looking at a GPP play that could get you around 25, possibly even 30 DraftKings points because when he out there, he can grab you a couple of boards here and there. But again, this is GPP only. Don't play this in cash. And that's all I got. That's all I got.
No, that's completely fair. And I don't even think it's propaganda anymore. I think, what was it, the Lakers since the start of last season have a net like plus 700 on even the second place team in the league for the last 2 years, including playoffs so far. So it's pretty insane what they're doing as far as their own free throw attempts are concerned, and also, as you said, opposition ones. So don't be surprised if Giannis doesn't find himself going to the line at his regular rate. What was it, even the last game where he ended up with obviously a monster 76-point night, still only ended up to the free throw line, by his standards, seven times for a guy who should be getting there double digits pretty much most nights, depending on, you know, how aggressive he continues to be at the rim. So, yeah, I'm always afraid of taking someone against the Lakers, which is why I'm happier taking Anthony Davis. But moving into the center side to kind of wrap things up over here, you mentioned Giannis already, who also has that center capability. I was going to kind of throw a little bit out there, but I was actually looking a little bit cheaper over here, and I already mentioned kind of Zion from one side, but Chet has had some pretty, significant performances in the two that he's gone up against the Pelicans so far this year, without necessarily kind of blowing the roof off as far as his stat line is concerned. Averaging a solid 44 DK points in the two matchups that he's had against them so far. And even though he had a really annoying dud in that Milwaukee game, where I was hoping that he would do a lot better than what we ended up with, has been on a pretty good heater over the last little bit, including obviously that Utah game where he absolutely peaked, and I felt pretty good kind of having him as my player pick for that one there. So shout out to Ramiz, I won on that one. But Chet in general at 7,500 just gives you so much upside for what he can do if he can have even a decent block night. Obviously that zero block night against Milwaukee was a bit of an aberration. Hadn't had a game like that for about 2 weeks leading into it. So he'll obviously be looking to bounce back pretty big over here. And this is given the fact that the Pelicans are playing just more deliberate small ball. I don't know how much Jonas is going to get the opportunity to be out there, especially given the fact that Chet is so good at being able to go ahead and pull bigs out to the perimeter. Obviously has proven himself to be a more than capable shooter from outside, shooting about 38% from downtown for the season. So it just leads me to believe that he should have a lot of matchup advantages in this kind of a game here, where the Pelicans don't have nearly as much switchability on their bigs, given the fact that there's more than just Chet that's out there. You have Jalen Williams, who's also got a good bit of size on him as well, and there's just a lot of opportunity for them to get on the inside and really punish the Pelicans there, while Chet continues to give you that that absolute threat on the perimeter as well. So I expect that he has the opportunity to put up 40 plus over here pretty comfortably, with the upside to be able to do similarly to what he's been doing kind of earlier in the season with the Pelicans, where he had kind of one really big game where I think it was, 48 in that one, and then the other one was about 41, 42 on there. So definitely the upside remains there, and for a guy who's in that 7,000 range to give you that kind of potential, well worth taking that risk as far as I'm concerned. And then on the other side, looking at that kind of cheaper side of things as far as centers are concerned. And again, this is definitely more of a GPP pick than anything else over there. But I do like Larry Nance in general as far as these kind of matchups are concerned, because given the fact that, as I said, Chet is going to be the one out there, they're going to need a little bit more capability for a guy who can go ahead and play that positions of three all the way to five, which Larry Nance can do. And to his credit, he's been getting more of those minutes consistently in that time. They very well have found it kind of a better fit for him to play those 25-plus minutes since Ingram went down, rather than giving more of those minutes to Valanciunas. So obviously the concern is that he's not very involved in the offense, which is absolutely true. But what he can do is stay on the floor long enough to be able to get enough rebounds, and he's always good at being able to rack up kind of those stats across the board. He'll get you a couple of assists. He'll usually be able to get you a steal or two, and can sometimes throw in with the block as well. So obviously a little bit more of a risk given the fact that I wish he was still in the kind of 3,000s rather than this 4,200 range at something like 3,600, which he was about a week ago. I would be totally all over that, but I do think he still offers enough upside in a matchup here where he should be required to play that 27 to 28 minute role and hopefully get a couple more of those maybe offensive rebound putbacks, whatever it may be, to give you that upside to get into the mid-20s rather than kind of that like 19 to 20 that he's been lingering around for a little bit.
Yeah, definitely some solid picks. With this center position, I just feel like you need to spin up at this position. And there's many options you can't really go wrong. For my spin up, I'm going to keep it safe. Going to say this is something you can play both cash and GPP. And I'm going to go back to probably my favorite game on the slate, and that's Sabonis. Honestly, I really don't see how he don't go over his, average fantasy point night. I don't really like calling triple-doubles, but I really don't see how he does not get a triple-double in this matchup if he gets 34 minutes. Back-to-back game. Bigs who get in foul trouble. Lineups where some people just don't really play defense. I really don't know what his ownership's going to be. I really don't know what the true upside going to be, but I do feel like 60 DraftKings points will probably be the minimum, and upside could probably be around 75. Really do love this spot for him. Really do feel like this is a potential triple-double spot. Going with my cheapy play. I can't really even call this cheap. I'm basically just throwing all my money in the center position. Going for my mid-tier play. Bam Adebayo at 8-3. I do feel like the matchup might have a few people take him off the center spot. Plus, there's a lot of good center plays. I'm not going to lie. A lot of good center plays. So I don't feel like his ownership will be above 15% on a four-game slate. And I do feel like his floor is pretty good. Floor should be around 38. But I do feel like his upside should be around close to 60, depending on how the matchup goes. But as long as he's able to get you around 45, 50 DraftKings points at the 8-3 price tag, you're going to be doing pretty decent in both GPPs and cash. Now, again, this is kind of a spend up, but this is strictly a GPP play. This player is typically point dependent, but his minutes is pretty consistent. Plus, if some news come out that if a player is sitting out, you might be able to get a few more field goal attempts out of him. And for 5-6, I'm going to play Rory Hachimura in GPPs. Might actually end up with him in the power forward position and the center position. But as a last piece in a GPP, I do feel like in this matchup, he could get anywhere from 20, upside of around 25 actual points. Rebounding and assists aren't really there with him, but he could get you, maybe 7 R plus A's. Then if you get a stock or two from him, you're looking at a decent 30, 35 fantasy point night. And in the GPP on a 4-game slate, that's something I'm willing to take a chance on, especially if I have some cash lying around, if I don't go too heavy on a couple stars in this slate.
Yeah, I like it. I think that's kind of a theme that we're getting over here where, in a 4-game slate, there's obviously a bit more risk involved with what you basically have to do because the margin of error is just that much smaller. So if you're going to hit, you want to try and hit big. And that's really what both Kenny and I have been trying to get to with it. But that does bring us to the end of our 4 games. Obviously want to hear what you guys have been thinking as far as your approaches to the slate is concerned. So definitely hit me up on Instagram, on Twitter at @HAK_devil. Talk to me about your process in terms of dealing with this and who your pillar plays are going to be when we're taking a look at some of these spend ups that are here to go alongside with some of the value plays that we've talked about. But Kenny, as always, where can the people find you?
Yeah, man. They can find me at OrangeDFS on Twitter. I'm always talking about ball on every level. College, March Madness is here. Been heavy on that. Had, I don't know, 15 ets, 20 etses happening yesterday on the women's college side. We got NBL playoffs picking back up for a very, 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 very tight game 4 that's going to feature an old NBA vet in Matthew Dellavedova and a few other prospects overseas. But, yeah, I'm always there to talk ball on any level.
That is a blast from the past. Dellavedova just always will be remembered for locking up Steph Curry one game and then going to the hospital, and then that's about as far as it ever went for him. But no, I love it. That's what you get with Kenny. It's just all levels of everything. That's just not what people are paying attention to. And that's really what Sports Ethos comes down to. You want to be able to get that edge. Get yourself subscribed to that DFS pass if you haven't already. Ask the pros all the way up until lineup lock. But until then, Ramiz and I will be here for tomorrow's podcast to be able to take on the slate there. But until then, let's take down some GPPs.